Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Thoughts If It Were You, Food for Thought by Neogentrix. Today is one of those days I do a daily double, and I basically record a secondary podcast within the same day. Now, continuing off where I left off, I did say we were going to cover communication, and I've already covered personal appearance and what is communication. So we're going to keep moving forward with this set topic for the next couple of days until I've, covered a pretty general overview of the entire thing, okay? I'm not going to go into extensive detail like I said before, but I will cover just about everything I can on this specific topic, okay? So today's second topic of discussion is interpersonal communication skills. Now you may be asking yourself, what the heck is that? And how is it any different than regular communication? First off, regular communication is basically what I had mentioned before, ways of letting someone else know what you're thinking, feeling, or what you're trying to say, or what point you're trying to make. So then, if that's the case, what is interpersonal communication? This is the process by which people exchange information, feelings, and meanings through verbal and nonverbal messages. It is face-to-face communication. That's basically what that is, all right? If you want to know what it's called when you talk to someone face-to-face, it's called interpersonal communication, okay? It's not just about what is actually said, the language used, but how it is said, and how the nonverbal messages sent through tone of your voice, facial expressions, gestures, and even your body language, going back to personal appearance. Now, when two or more people are in the same place and are aware of each other's presence, then the communication is taking place, no matter how subtle or unintentional it may be. Okay? So, without speech, an observer may be using cues of posture, facial expressions, and dress to form an impression of the other's role, emotional state, personality, or even intentions. Okay? Although no communication may be intended, people receive messages through such forms of nonverbal behavior. Okay? There are a lot of elements of interpersonal communication. Okay? Much research has been done to try to break down interpersonal communication into a number of elements, in order that it can be more easily understood. And commonly, these elements include the communicators, the message, noise, again, feedback, context, and channel. Now, I'm not going to go into extensive detail on each one of these, but I'll give you a brief overview of each, okay? Okay. So, we're going to start with the first one, the communicators. All right. For any communication to occur, there must be at least two people involved. It is easy to think that basic communication involving a sender and receiver of a message is supposed to be this way. However, the problem with this way of seeing a relationship is that it presents communication as a one-way process, where one person sends the message and the other receives it. While one person is talking, another is listening, for example, like when you're on the phone. In fact, communications are almost always complex. It's a two-way process, basically, with people sending and receiving messages to and from each other simultaneously. In other words, communication is an interactive process. While one person is talking, the other is listening. But while listening, they're also sending feedback in the form of smiles, head nods, gestures, body motions, etc. Next would be the message. Message not only means the speech used or information that's being conveyed, but also the nonverbal message exchange, such as, like I mentioned before, your facial expression, tone of voice, gestures, and your body language. This being said, nonverbal behavior can convey additional information about spoken message. In particular, it can reveal more about emotional attitudes, which may underline the content of the speech, okay? And with that, I'll have to cover effective speaking for those who don't quite understand what I mean by that at a later date. Next would be noise. Okay, noise has a special meaning in communication theory. All right, it refers to anything that distorts the message so that what is received is different from what is intended by the speaker. Whilst physical noise, for example, background noise or other low-flying jet planes in the background can interfere with communication, other factors are considered to be noise as well. The use of complicated jargon, inappropriate body language, inattention, disinterest, and cultural differences can also be considered noise in the context of basic interpersonal communication. Like a teacher who has a heavy indie accent. Okay? In other words, any distortion or consistencies that occur during an attempt to communicate can be seen as basically noise. Again, I'm feedback. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, it consists of messages the receiver returns, which allows the sender to know how accurately the message has been received or... As well as the receiver's reaction, the receiver may also respond to the unintentional message as well as the intentional one. There are different types of feedbacks, okay? The types of feedback range from direct verbal statements, for example, say that again, I don't understand, to subtle facial expressions or changes in posture that might indicate to the sender that the receiver feels uncomfortable with the message or is just falling asleep on themselves. Because it's boring. Feedback allows the sender to regulate, adapt, and repeat the message in order to improve communication between him and his receivers. Next would be the context, okay? All communication is influenced by the context in which it takes place. However, apart from looking at the situational context of where the interaction takes place, for example, in a room, office, or perhaps outdoors, the social context also needs to be considered. For example, the roles, responsibilities, and relative status of the participants, okay? The emotional climate and participants' expectations of the interaction will also affect the communication as well. Bringing up a previous topic, previous thing that I had talked about before, the channel, okay? The channel refers to the physical means by which the message is transferred from one person to another. And in face-to-face context, the channels which are used are usually speech and vision. However, during a telephone conversation, the channel is limited to just speech alone. Just keep this in mind. Alright, last thing I want to cover on this one. And then, yes, I know this podcast is fairly short. But like I said, it's just a secondary one I'm doing during the day. These are random. They're not always consistent with my normal regular schedule, okay? When you have the opportunity to observe some interpersonal communication, make a mental note of the behaviors that are used, both verbal and nonverbal. Okay? Observe and think about the following factors, and these are some things to think about. Who are the communicators? Okay? What messages were exchanged? What, if there was any, I'm not saying there will be, noise distorts the message? Okay. How feedback's given? What is the context of the communication? Now, you probably do this all the time, subconsciously, but when you actively observe interpersonal communication, you can more fully appreciate its mechanics. Okay, so by observing others, making a conscious effort to understand how communication occurs, you will think about how you communicate and become more aware of the messages you send. This provides a perfect opportunity for you to develop your interpersonal communication skills. Okay, lastly, the uses of interpersonal communication. Most of us engage in some form of interpersonal communication on a regular basis, often many times a day. How well we communicate with others is a measure of our interpersonal skills in the first place. Okay? Interpersonal communication is a key life skill, and it can be used to do the following. Give and collect information. Influence the attitudes and behaviors of others, form contacts and maintain relationships, make sense of the world and its and our experiences in said world, express personal needs and the, and understand the needs of others, give and receive emotional support for those who need it, make decisions, solve problems, anticipate and predict behavior, and regulate power. Now, while these may seem like contrary things, they all make up what communication is, and it helps improve upon basic level communication between people, making it more effective. Okay? Now, with that being said, there are a lot of things that factor into this. Okay? And I'm going to go ahead and give some tips here for effective interpersonal communication. Like I said before, interpersonal communication are skills that, you know, are those which you will need every day in your life, okay? Be it in your professional or personal life, okay? There's some of the most important skills that you need to focus on as a large percent of your life involves interacting with people, friends, colleagues, and relations with your boss as well. So with that being said, I'm going to cover 10 tips to help you be an effective interpersonal communicator, okay? And I want you to keep this in mind. At first, it may seem a simple and natural thing to do, but talking to people is a complex process, and it becomes more difficult when you do not know how the other person will react. This is where effective communication comes into play. And there is a great difference in the ability to communicate and the ability to communicate effectively, thus It requires a person to have good communication skills, as it can make or break trust, deals, or even change your career. So we'll keep that in mind. All right, so the first thing being this. Don't show negative body language. As the saying goes, the first impression is the last impression. Hence, you should always be careful when it comes to body language. It is said that a typical communication consists of more than 50% nonverbal communication, which includes body language. So if your body language is sending negative signals to the other person, the communication will probably break down in the process. Another important point to note here is that you should not bring any physical barriers between you and the other person. Barriers create distractions and can make the communication process very uncomfortable. 2, do not interrupt the other person. I know I covered this once before about showing respect when we covered different morals. However, that aside, it is very rude to interrupt a person while they are speaking. And nobody likes to be interrupted because it hampers the thought process and it is disrespectful, like I said before. If you have to make an interruption and it is necessary for you to speak at the at that exact moment, then you need to make a gentle interruption. Ask the person if you may interrupt him or her and say sorry. And whatever you wanted to say must justify your interruption, otherwise it's unwarranted. Okay? Number 3, and this is something that a lot of people need to consider doing, and even me at some times. Think before you speak. I can't stress this one enough, okay? Another adage that perfectly describes this point is look before you leap, okay? You should think how your words are going to affect the person whom you are communicating before making any comments. That means that you should try to connect with the feelings of the other person in order to show that you genuinely care about the conversation that is going on between the two of you, rather than just saying that you are and just hearing them. With that being said, that brings me to the fourth topic, listening well. Okay, the ability to listen to what a person is saying is in itself a skill. Okay, and you should focus on that while communicating with others. If you have good listening skills, you will be able to understand the person's words more clearly and react in a positive manner. It will also send a signal to the other person that you care about what he or she has to say. That being said, number 5, don't be defensive or attacking, stay neutral. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Some people have a tendency to get defensive or attack during a conversation, okay? You do not have to get overexcited when someone points out your mistakes or get defensive or attack them. Be neutral and transparent so that you can understand what is actually being discussed. Always maintain the balance in the conversation so that everyone involved in the discussion has a fair part in it and they feel comfortable speaking. On that note, number 6, don't deviate. Okay, always try to stick to the topic of the discussion to maintain the relevancy of the communication process. There is no need to bring something totally unrelated to the discussion and waste the time of the people involved. If you deviate away from the topic, the whole idea of the conversation becomes less than meaningful and it's just abstract. Okay? So, in that regard, number 7, be confident of your ideas. Okay? You should always be confident of what you're saying or speaking and should take ownership of your words. This will increase the trust that the other people have in you and make the conversation flow more freely. Okay? And on that note, number 8, be open to receiving feedback. Okay? Sometimes it's good to step back and be receptive to feedback. Communication is a two-way process and should remain like that. I mean, you should be open up to feedback from the other person and give honest to good feedback whenever you feel it is needed. But remember, there's good and bad feedback. Okay? Now, I will be covering giving and receiving feedback, like I said before, at a later date. All right? Next would be number 9. Use the right communication method. Okay? Communication may not necessarily always be verbal, and you should understand that different types of situations ask for different methods. Okay? You should know that which types of communication methods will be more effective. Okay? Location is also an important point to remember. Different types of communication needs different locations. Lastly, shake hands firmly. Okay? And while it may not seem like something too trivial, how do I put this? The last but not least important tip is how you shake hands when you introduce yourself. Giving a firm handshake, but do not make it a tight one, and also do not squeeze, but then not make it a weak handshake, because a weak handshake may indicate low self-esteem. The way you shake a person's hand tells a lot about who you are and the type of personality that you have. All right? Well, that brings a conclusion to this podcast adaptation on interpersonal communication. And next time we meet or we come back, we're going to talk about the principles of communication. Okay. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see each other again later.